We're going to read a passage in a few moments that's connected with our morning message. And so in a few moments, Dale's going to come up and read 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter, right? The chapter that talks all about love. Oftentimes, it is read at weddings, but even at weddings, and even this morning, I want to say it's not primarily for weddings or married couples. It's for churches who are doing lots of ministry, lots of stuff. The gifts of the Spirit are working and operational, and the writer of that letter in that chapter is trying to say, but the most important thing, beyond anything you could do for God or for each other, the most important thing is to love each other. And so there's this great description of what love is in that chapter. And we're reading it for that reason, just a reminder to us of what our central mission is for God, but also toward each other. But we're also reading it, there's a verse in there that really connects with this morning's passage. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, "Now I know in part, but then," so that one day when Christ comes back, "then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." So that's the connection from the passage to this morning's message. So, unconventional message this morning. I'm going to ask you to try and pretend it is about 50 or 52 AD, and you are no longer in Burnaby. You're somewhere, maybe Corinth or Athens or something like that, and you just happen to be listening to the conversation between the Apostle Paul and his secretary, Tertius. So in a few moments, as you know, just try and imagine after the reading, just try and imagine, oh yeah, we're no longer in Burnaby. We've been transported somewhere in the far past, almost 2,000 years ago. It's the city of Corinth or something like that. And we're listening to these two people in conversation. But now the reading, 1 Corinthians 13.
"Or of angels, but do not have love. I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord.
Tertius, my good man, I've returned. I've brought you your favorite drink from Caesar's Coffee House.
Thank you.
Extra mint, extra chocolate, extra whip, extra sugar, extra whatever you want in there.
Yeah, perfect.
It's my way of saying thank you so much for helping me write this letter.
Perfect.
I think there are some people, you know, when they think about me writing letters to churches, they think, oh, there's Paul all by himself writing the letter. But that's not really how it goes sometimes,
right? No, not at all. We were writing the letter to the Romans, right?
That's right.
I got to greet people personally in that letter.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. Just sort of adding your own little, you know, input there to the letter. Mm-hmm. And now we're writing to these people in Galatia, this province of Galatia.
Yeah.
Now, in the future, people are going to wonder, was he writing to the northern Galatians or the southern Galatians? And for me, it's quite obvious who I'm writing to. But I call them Galatians, but really I want to call them something else. Like, I'm not a very nice word because, as you remember, that's how the letter began, right?
Of course, yeah.
I was pretty upset.
Very.
Pretty frustrated. Can we even say I was angry with the Galatians? Is it okay for a church leader to be angry sometimes? Because I was telling the people in those Galatian cities, it's through faith that you're saved. It's through faith that you come into the family of God. It's through faith that God accepts you and justifies you. And they kept saying, yes, 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 through faith, through faith, through faith. And then I left there, and now they're trying to turn the good news of Jesus into some kind of gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta do that, and then you can be saved. And so I'm so frustrated, and that's how the letter began, but I've kind of calmed down now. And so can you remind me of the last few sentences that I spoke out to you just a little while ago before I got our special drinks here?
But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods.
Now, if I do say so myself, those words almost sound inspired. Mm. You know, like it sounds like they sound pretty good. And I'm especially taken, I don't know if you are, Tertius, but I'm especially taken by this idea that, and the Romans, they don't get this. The Greeks, they don't get this. I don't think anyone else gets this, but we get to call God
Father.
Father. I mean, before I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, I would have never thought about that. But Jesus gives us this access, this new way of thinking about and talking about, but also talking to God. Amazing.
Truly.
How about the last sentence one more time? And then I'm going to start speaking again about what we should write the Galatians here.
Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods.
Okay. How about if you write this next?
Okay.
But now that you do know God, right, because they didn't, but now they do. But now that you do know God, or rather are known by God.
Now that you know God, Okay, should I scratch out the previous fate?
Don't scratch anything out. So now that you know God, or rather are known by God, I really like that.
It sounds like you're contradicting yourself.
I don't think I am.
Are you correcting yourself?
I don't think I am.
Can you explain? I'm so confused.
Well, let me try and say this. So at one time, people, including me, we didn't really know who God was fully.
Yeah.
Then through Jesus, we've come to know God. But the deeper reality is not that we know God, but that God knows us.
Huh.
Right? Isn't that more awesome?
Truly. Yeah.
It's sort of like our holy scriptures in the Psalms, right? Psalm 103 says that God knows that we are frail, we are dust. Or in the book of Exodus, how because God knows that his people are suffering and that they're in slavery, he comes to help them. Hmm. Or even our Messiah, our Master Jesus, says that the Father knows us so much, he even knows the very hairs on our heads. He knows when a hair falls to the ground. I mean, isn't that amazing that God would know that about us?
Yeah.
I think it's more amazing than whatever I might know about God, even though that's important. Hmm. Or maybe I can say it this way, Tertius. I can say, you know, we think, and this is good, you know, we think we should serve God. And sometimes I call myself or I call people like us servants of Jesus. That's great. But the deeper reality, the better thing is not that we serve God, but that God has served us. Or I might say to people, especially people who don't know God, you should seek God. And people should. But the deeper reality is that God has been seeking us. That's what the whole story of our scripture is all about. God seeking after us. Or I can imagine a church in the future having some mission statement that says, love God, love others, do justice, which is great. But the better, the deeper, the more awesome reality is not that we're called to love God or love others or do justice, but that God has loved us. And God has done justice for us through Jesus. I even think sometimes about when we're singing. You know, we're singing our songs, sometimes you and me or our little church here in Corinth. And I think, isn't it awesome that we can sing to God? But then I think about Zechariah chapter 3. Remember Zechariah chapter 3?
Remind me.
Yeah. That says that God actually sings over us. That's a way deeper, way more awesome thing to remember. We should be singing to God, but to think that God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, is singing over us. You know, I can imagine, let's say in the future, someone named C.S. Lewis, you know, he will say something like, it is infinitely more important what God thinks of me than what I think of him. Or I think actually in all good relationships, friendships and marriages, the more awesome news, at least that's been my experience, the more awesome news is not that I love this person so much, but the more awesome news in relationships is that this person incredibly still loves me, even though they know so much about me. And I'm thinking that maybe in the future there might be a band. You know, maybe they would call themselves 21 Pilots. You know, they might sing a song that somehow connects with this theme of being known.
I'm a goner. Somebody catch my breath. I'm a goner. Somebody catch my breath. I wanna be known by you. I wanna be known by you.
Now that's a great line, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I wanna be known by you. Now I don't know if the artist is talking to a friend or God himself, but this desire to be known. And that, so that's what I'm trying to say in the letter to the Galatians. We should want to know God, and there's so much to know about God, but the deeper reality is that God knows us. It is the better news. And I'm thinking this morning as well about someone in the 20th century who will write a book called Knowing God. His name might be J.I. Packer. And that book is all about what we should know about God, that we should know God. It's a great book, highly recommended. But in that book, J.I. Packer writes this: what matters supremely, therefore, is not, in the last analysis, the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hands. I am never out of his mind. This is momentous knowledge. There is unspeakable comfort in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. And then this, I found this really a great paragraph. There is tremendous relief in knowing that God's love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery about me can disillusion him about me in the way that I so often am disillusioned about myself and quench God's determination to bless me. Now that, for me, is well said.
Very.
Almost, it feels like inspired. Almost. And as I think about this past year, I mean, the year for us is turning from 51 to 52.
Yeah.
But maybe others in the future, from 2018 to 2019. As I think about the past year, I would suggest that what's happened the past year, the most important thing is not what I have done, or what we have done, or what I or you or we have accomplished. What I suggest the most important thing is what God has been doing in us or through us. And so what has God been up to in your life or my life or our lives? That is the more important reality, or the more awesome news, the more awesome things that we should be thinking about. So I'm going to give us just a few moments. What has God been doing in your life the last year? It could be in combination with what you've been doing, what you've been up to, but maybe you've sensed a thread or a theme or something that you weren't expecting, or God maybe showed up in a surprising way. Maybe after the message in communion, some of you might be willing to share some of that. For me, it has been a year of God trying to open up my heart a bit more. God causing me to shed a few more tears than I typically do. Jesus helping me rid myself of false ideas about who he is and helping me see him properly. These days, I pray to Jesus directly much more than I used to. So I love the Our Father prayer. I'm so thankful Reggie keeps encouraging me to keep praying the Our Father prayer. And I do that. But I find myself also praying directly to Jesus more than I used to. I find that Jesus is opening me up to the needs in my life, needs for him and needs that I have from others. He's reminding me of my humanity, and in my humanity, how much I do need him. And he's showing up in all kinds of areas of my life and my heart that I keep covered up. I think I've opened them up, but I realize they're always still covered up to Jesus and to others. And so this morning, I'm suggesting from Galatians 4, verse 9, is not so much what we know about God, that's very important, but the bigger, better, more awesome reality is that God knows us. God's at work in us.